Bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The RealReal. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Hey, buddy.
Hey. That's well, all. It's been great talking to you. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Please Bless This Podcast. This is the podcast where two sisters talk all things Mormon and pop culture, and sometimes there's a reckoning.
Ooh,
jeez. If you know, you know. Mitt Romney's biography came out a couple months ago, and it's called Romney. A Reckoning, which is such a dramatic title.
Yeah.
And honestly, he's a total drama queen. So we're going to talk about it.
That's what I gather from your notes. It's he's quite the character.
To make this more pop culture centric, though, we need to first talk about Mitt Romney and pop culture for just a moment.
Sure.
Did you know he and his wife dressed up as Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift for Halloween?
Yes.
Good for them. Way to like read the cultural moment.
I wonder if it was their idea, because it is kind of like,
yeah,
you know, a little impressive.
Katie is silently applauding for those of you not watching on YouTube.
Yeah,
like a little bit of a kind of in touch move. Like, do you think our mom knows who Travis Kelce is?
Maybe if our dad has brought it up, because our dad certainly does.
Our dad is a bit of a Swiftie.
Yeah,
and he pre-Reputation era, he was a bit of a Swiftie,
right? He's a PG Swiftie.
Mm-hmm.
Once she started swearing and
he was
like,
out.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Mitt Romney, he is in touch with the cultural zeitgeist. He is a Swiftie, apparently. Mm-hmm. The other like most important Mitt Romney pop culture moment is, of course, Schmidt on New Girl.
Of course.
And this is like in 2012. So like at the height of Mitt Romney's political career, like his bid for president, Schmidt was like, I'm a Romney. Do you remember this episode?
Not really.
It's so unhinged, Katie. The whole premise is Schmidt wants to meet Kanye. And by the way, he pronounces it Kanye.
Kanye. Which,
good for him.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And he is dressed in like basically a Vineyard Vines outfit to go to this club to see Kanye. And they won't let him in because he does not look like a cool guy.
No.
But someone, I can't remember. I haven't watched it in a while. But somehow he decides his ticket into this club to see Kanye is to tell them that he is a Romney. And he looks the part, right? Like he's got like an embroidered belt on with like whales on it or something. And he makes up a Romney name, but it's funny because it's almost actually a Romney name. He calls himself Tug. Tug Romney. But there is a Tag Romney.
Yeah, he's close.
I mean, and Mitt.
Yeah. Like,
that's something. Although, Mitt is his middle name. Did you know?
I did not. What's his first name?
Willard.
Stop.
Yeah. Is that the most Mormon first name you've ever heard? Willard Romney?
Willard Romney. Yeah. It's giving polygamy.
Yeah. It's giving Cedar City, Utah, baby.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah, Schmidt, he convinces people he's Tug Romney. Some young women who are really into Republicans are like, oh, Tug Romney, do you want to come make out with me? And so for a minute, it seems like Schmidt is going to ride this Romney wave to like sex and Kanye. But he blows it by saying that he and his dad like to drink beers together while fishing.
Ugh.
And the girls are like, no, Mitt Romney's a Mormon. He wouldn't do that. And so Schmidt's cover is blown. Talk about a cultural moment for old Willard Romney.
Yeah, I feel like that was the last like kind of cute election. I'll be more clear. The 2012, the like Obama Mitt moment. Mm-hmm. Like I remember, I don't know. There was just like, there was something in the air.
Yeah.
The debates and like, I remember going to 7-Eleven to get coffee with Luke, who was either still my boyfriend or we had just gotten married. I think we were engaged. And there was like Obama and Romney coffee cups that you could choose from.
Oh,
you know,
cute.
It was just like cute. It was like, this is a cute thing that we're doing. Like an election. Yeah. They come around every couple of years. Now it's like...
Now it's the outcome will destroy your life.
Right.
Yeah.
Now it's because I just remember back then being like, ugh, Mitt Romney. Ugh. You know, and it's like it gets so much worse.
It gets so much worse. Remember how Mitt Romney, one of the big scandals was that he said something about like having binders full of women.
Oh yeah.
Like binders full of women who like worked for him or supported him or something. I just remember binders full of women. And it was his way of being like, see, I support women. I have binders full of women.
Binders full.
And it's like, yeah, that was a bit of a gaffe, but at least he wasn't like, I just grab them by the...
You know what? Yeah, he didn't mean anything by it. He was just being a nerd. Just being a dork.
Things just really fell off a cliff after Mitt Romney. So,
yeah.
You know.
A reckoning, if you will.
A bit of a reckoning. Okay. So let's talk about this book. I read this book. Katie did not.
No.
But we didn't both need to read it. And in fact, none of you need to read it because I'm going to tell you what's in it. And also... You can read some reviews of it. If you really want to read it, go right ahead. It's actually like a pretty quick little read. It's written by, so it's an authorized biography written by McKay Coppins, a friend of the podcast.
What's up, McKay? How's it going?
In a certain sense. You may remember if you've been with us for a while, we've dragged McKay Coppins here before. So he is a staff writer at The Atlantic and... famously a Mormon, and he likes to write about Mormonism in politics and pop culture, and he wrote this like scathing review of Under the Banner of Heaven and how like Mormons are so persecuted and it's like no one gets talked down to like Mormons get talked down to, and it's such a silly little article.
Yeah,
that's McKay Coppins. So he and Mitt Romney have had like tons and tons of interviews over this long period of time. And Romney's like given him his access to his journals and emails and notes to piece together this biography. And like McKay Coppins is a perfectly good writer. So it like moves along. It's pretty snappy. You know, you just plow right through Mitt Romney's life. Lickety split.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One thing I will say, when this book came out, I was visiting our parents in Utah and we were talking about it and whether they were going to read it. And dad was like, oh, yeah, I think it's cool that the guy who's writing it is this like guy from this journalist from the Atlantic, you know? And I said, yeah, and he's a Mormon. And dad was like, oh, really?
Yeah.
I hoped he wasn't. And dad's reasoning was, if a non-Mormon could write this biography of Mitt Romney and Mitt Romney could come out smelling like a rose, it would like mean more than if a fellow Mormon did it.
Yeah, he's right. But it's like, that's just not going to happen. Mitt Romney is not open to the hard questions, you know?
Not about Mormonism.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And like Mormonism is central in his life story, of course, as it would be in any like devout Mormon's life story. Mm-hmm. But McKay Coppins is not interrogating Mormonism in the way that a non-Mormon journalist worth their salt would have to. They would have to ask Romney the real questions, like, can you please explain to me how you justify this like insane belief system and still claim to be like a rational person who should be running the country? Like, you would have to be able to make sense of it, and there's no making sense of it like that.
No.
One thing I hadn't realized, because a documentary came out in 2014 called Mitt. And again, this filmmaker was given all this access to Mitt and to the Romneys to make this documentary, but the filmmaker is a Mormon.
Yeah, it's pretty cutesy.
So in these like cases where Romney's like, I'm being transparent, I'm gonna like give this access, it's only to people who are already like understanding his Mormonness, but also like have a stake in it, like, and so aren't gonna look at it in any kind of really critical way. Any Mormon has spent their entire life like situating Mormonness in as normal a way as possible for a non-Mormon audience, because that's how you survive in this world. So yeah, McKay Coppins is an expert at that, and he does it throughout this book. And in subtle ways, right? Like, for instance, at the very beginning of the book, prologue is January 6th. And like, yeah, January 6th.
Holy smokes.
Romney's like in the Senate chamber and is being told like, get inside, there's a breach, you know, like, the real beginning of the prologue is a line about how Mitt Romney is low-key obsessed with death and his own mortality.
I can relate.
He has this wellness fixation because he wants to live as long as he can. And he says, I want to like live a long life because a lot of things are going to be happening.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The RealReal. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
And that is Mormon code.
Yeah.
And McKay Coppins, you know, brushes right over it. He just keeps it moving. But I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. hang on. Mm-hmm. So within the first couple of pages, the first couple of paragraphs, I'm like, here it is. Here it is. Here is the weird Mormon stuff getting treated like it's normal. Mm-hmm. And if a non-Mormon were the one writing this book, they would be like, hang on a minute. What do you mean?
Yeah. Tell me exactly what you mean.
And let me tell you exactly what he means. What he means is, you know, there's like all this second coming stuff, right? That he's referencing, like Jesus is going to return to the earth, yada, yada, yada. But it's even more than that. Mormonism takes it even further than that. So in this prologue, Romney reflects on how like, he used to think of Republicans as defenders of the Constitution and that Democrats were like willing to kind of set the Constitution aside for the sake of progress. And now he's like, oh, I don't know anymore. I don't think that's necessarily true. I think Republicans will turn on the Constitution if it serves their own self-interest, as if that's so shocking, as if we didn't already know. But he has this insight and this sense that like the Constitution is at risk and I need to live a long time because a lot of things are going to happen is so Mormon coded. There's something called the White Horse Prophecy, which is a disputed revelation from the prophet Joseph Smith. And the idea in this revelation is that the United States Constitution will be threatened. The wording, the famous wording that every Mormon who knows is the Constitution will be hanging by a thread. And a Mormon is going to save it, literally ride in on a white horse and save it.
Right. Yeah.
Can I tell you that when I was a Mormon missionary, my mission president told me he had a vision of my future.
Oh, good.
And he told me that my children were going to be the ones to save the Constitution when it was hanging by a thread.
Oh, my God.
Have I ever told you that?
No.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, I have no children.
Right.
/ MNX Mormon. So it's not looking great for that vision.
No.
And I'm so sorry if the Constitution was depending on that, because it's not going to happen.
National treasure, white horse.
Yeah.
The reckoning.
Yeah. The actual context for that, that little vision he had was, because when you're a missionary, you meet with your mission president like once a transfer. So once every 6 weeks, and they give you a blessing, a priesthood blessing. So they put their hands on your head. And they receive revelation on your behalf and tell you what it is, right? And most of the time it was very like, I bless you to feel comfort. I bless you to be inspired to find people to teach. I bless you to feel that the Lord is guiding you. Like that kind of stuff. Yeah. But on this particular occasion, he gives me the blessing. He ends the blessing and says to me, I had a vision of your future, but I cannot tell you what it is until the last night of your mission. So remind me on your last night. So on my last night, I reminded him, thinking he was going to be like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he was like, yes, let me tell you the vision. And it was, you're going to get married in the temple. It's going to be this like really incredible partnership with like a really righteous man. And then your children are going to rescue the Constitution, Nicolas Cage style.
Yeah.
Not Nicolas Cage style. That's interesting. I wish Nicolas Cage style.
I wonder if that's just like a thing he does with everybody, number one. But number two, if not, like, I kind of love, I think it gets kind of a slay that he's like, I'm a medium, or like, I'm having visions. Him,
right?
Like, that's fun.
Good for him. And also, like, that was like a full year in between him telling me, like, remind me. And then maybe he felt put on the spot and was like, let me come up with something. How about that white horse prophecy? How about we go there? Who knows? But I left that meeting feeling pretty important / weird about my future. Anyway, Romney is saying all sorts of stuff that, if you know, you know, is very distinctly Mormon, but it's not necessarily getting unpacked. That's right. Just in the prologue. So do you want me to, like, give you some highlights of Mitt Romney's life?
Give me some highlights.
I'm not going to get all into it. I'll admit that after I got to the 2002 Olympic years, I was like, I think I've seen what I need to see here of Mitt Romney's life.
Give me some background.
Just a little bit. We already knew this, but his family, he comes from a family of polygamists who lived in, like, a Mormon polygamy colony in Mexico, which is fun. And then it was his grandparents who came to the U.S. from Mexico and made their way after being polygamous. So Mitt Romney's dad was the governor of Michigan, which is interesting. He was, like, a moderate Republican. He was the governor during, like, the race riots in Detroit. Yeah, like, an interesting background, interesting political background. But Mitt grew up as this, like, rich, privileged son of a governor. Like, he went to, like, a boarding school and stuff. And he talks about being, like, he had kind of a hard life because he wasn't a natural athlete.
Right.
And that's, like, what it took to be, like, respected among the boys. And I just love that, like, that is his trial.
Yeah, like, that's hard.
I wasn't the best at football. So he, you know, because of that difficulty, he was a bully.
Right.
So he, like, tells these sort of benign stories about, like, bullying kids in boarding school. But when he was running for president, a story came out that he had hazed a gay classmate and, like, pinned the kid down and cut his hair. And when the story came out, Mitt claimed to have no memory of it.
Sure. Yeah. You know how you forget those things. You know, like, the when you haze somebody violently and you just forget.
You forget, like, the hate crimes you've been involved in your life.
Yeah.
I was jaw dropped when I read that.
That's insane. Like, that's not real.
That is not a normal reaction to, like, assaulting a classmate, is that you just, like, immediately forget that it happened. But that's our Mitt.
Yeah.
And, like, what's funny about it is he does remember bullying kids.
Right.
And he admits to it, but, like, this, like, pretty extreme case, he's just like, I don't remember that.
Doesn't stand out.
Yeah. Wild. And he's like, I didn't even know. I mean, I just didn't really have a concept of, like, who is gay. Okay.
Because I'm so straight.
Mitt. So that's a dark spot in the history of Mitt Romney's life. So, yeah. He grows up with a lot of privilege, and he's kind of an asshole. He is a little bit of a womanizer. He likes to date girls, but as soon as they like him back, he likes to ditch them. So that's real nice. And then he meets his future wife, and he's smitten by her. He goes on a Mormon mission, and he wants to go to the UK because that's where his dad and grandpa went. So his dad, who is a powerful, like, political Mormon, calls the church headquarters and is like, can you call my son to this mission? And they're like, sure. And I was like, great, good to know that that's how that works. Like, just another, like, illusion of Mormon revelation that's shattered, which, you know, we already knew, but okay, here it is in black and white. But then apparently, as he's, like, on this list to be called to the UK, Thomas S. Monson sees the list and is like, no, send this Romney kid to France.
Nice.
Yeah. Who knows why? Whatever. He goes to France, has a terrible mission. The key detail about his mission that we get in this biography is that he had chronic debilitating diarrhea for like
nice,
which just a delightful little tidbit. Like, there's a part where he like blacks out in a ditch from diarrhea and dehydration.
Sucker
so next blue. Time you see a picture of Mitt Romney, that's what you should think about.
Okay.
The diarrhea years. But the big story of his mission is that, excuse me, Siri interrupted. The big story of his mission is that towards the end of his mission, he's an assistant to the president, to the mission president, which is like, you've risen to the top of the ranks of your mission. And he is driving some missionaries, including the mission president and the mission president's wife, through France, gets into a head-on collision with a driver who is maybe a drunk driver, is sort of hinted at, but not necessarily confirmed. They have a really serious accident. The Mitt is pretty injured, but the mission president's wife dies. Which, whoa, like that's super serious, right?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Quite an experience to have, like at such a young age, to be the driver of that car. I mean, like, imagine.
Yeah.
Mitt refuses to go home early because he's like, if there's anything being a missionary has taught me, it's that sacrifice, suffering is sanctifying, right? So sure. I'm gonna stay here and suffer. The mission president leaves to go home and like mourn his wife, and Mitt takes over the mission while he's gone, like runs the mission while he's gone. And I was like, did he?
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
He low-key used this as a power grab. Like, I mean, that's a dark reading of it, but on a level, that is kind of what he did.
Yeah. There's something to that. Yeah, I'm sure there was a lot of, you know, grief and it was a hard time, but there was a little bit of, does this mean, well, you know, I got it covered here.
I got it covered. Let me show you what I can do. And like McKay Coppins makes a point of calling out like how he used that time to like push forward some like courageous new initiatives or whatever. I mean, he's like hustling.
Yeah, get that garbage mission president out of there. You know, go mourn your wife. I got this. We're taking things to the next level.
Yeah, we're taking it to the top. Yeah. And like that is an interesting little personality profile of our dear Mitt Romney, I think.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's Mitt Romney as a missionary. He goes home. He goes to BYU. He majors in English, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
Thinks about being an academic, but his English professor is like, why would you want to be poor? Why not be rich? Mm. So he's like, good thinking, buddy. And he goes to Harvard to get an MBA and /JD. And he ends up working as the head of Bain Capital, which is just like an investment arm of Bain sounds like, you know, villains, right? Bain
right
is the villain in the Dark Knight series. So it's like, yeah, he is Bain. So he makes hundreds of millions of dollars by laying people off, basically, is his career.
Nice.
But for him, way to go, buddy.
Yeah, really and courageous. Like,
in the biography, like, there is a little bit of like McKay Coppins interviewing people who've known Romney throughout his life, and the overarching message is he was good looking and confident and fit and rich, so he like made his way through the world, you know. People are like, you can trust that Mitt because he has the confidence of a Harvard man.
Yeah. He's got the confidence of someone who will violently haze a gay classmate and then claim.
And then immediately forget about it. He doesn't remember it. Yes. Yeah. One thing that Mitt talks about, this is his reckoning, right? Is he's realizing as he gets older and deeper into politics that, like, he is complicit in some things. Like, maybe some of his layoffs were a little unsavory. Maybe, you know, he's equivocated a little too much politically and he's contributed to, like, the downfall of American politics.
Sure.
And he says, like, I've realized I have this, like, powerful ability to justify my own actions. And then, like, not think about them. He's like, I could take a lie detector test, and I'm not lying to you when I say I think I'm doing the right thing. But looking back, like, maybe it wasn't.
So you admit that you could fake a lie detector test? Okay.
Yeah, there's just some weird, like, he's, like, trying to be, like, look, I'm being so self-reflective that like I'm almost trying to absolve myself with this level of honesty, but actually what's happening is he's condemning himself with this like with this revelation that he has like willfully done unethical shit and then like erased it from his memory.
He's just kind of like laying it out there.
It's a reckoning, my friends.
It's a reckoning.
While he is making hundreds of millions of dollars and rising through the ranks professionally, he is also rising through the ranks of the church, as is often done in parallel, because the church loves to elevate a rich man. So,
yeah,
of course, he's a bishop, a stake president, you know, all of those things. Mm-hmm. He there's this like little section about how he dealt with like Mormon feminists as the governor when he was like a stake president in Massachusetts. And then as the governor of Massachusetts, how he was like equivocating on abortion because like the church is not pro-choice, but he needed to be pro-choice to be elected as the governor of Massachusetts. So he's like, well, you know, the church says abortion is like murder, but not actually murder. So he's just doing these little dances to get by.
Good for him.
And he calls it pragmatism. He's like, I'm just pragmatic. But what that means is I'll say whatever I have to say.
Right.
To get the job done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mormons are real pragmatic. I mean, they can really find a workaround for anything. I mean, you could be like, how do you justify Joseph Smith marrying a 14-year-old? They've got good arguments.
Oh, they could talk at you about that all day.
Yeah, they really can. And the different argument, people have all sorts of things to say. They're really thinking on it.
So many angles. Like, oh, it's like his Abrahamic test. Oh, I mean, he didn't have sex with her. It was for her good somehow.
Right. It's a clerical error.
It's a clerical error. Yeah. Or the catch-all is like, we can't know the mind of God because we're just mortals. So, like, you have to be patient because one day it will be clear to you. Right. You know, once you're long dead, you will suddenly see clearly.
Right. Well, we don't know. He was protecting her from somebody else or we don't know.
Okay. Wrapping this all up. Oh, a few more tidbits from Mitt's life. He meets Trump for the first time in 1995 and he gets like flown out to Mar-a-Lago just for some schmoozing. And he apparently thinks Trump is like deeply weird and Mar-a-Lago is super weird. But then in 2012, he thinks Trump is like a delightful guy He writes in his journal about how Trump makes him feel good about himself.
Well, so there it is.
Like, and that's his private journal. That's not his, like, some public statement he's making to take a stand. So I do think that is an interesting thing as we, like, see him getting a lot of praise for standing up for Trump is, like, in his sort of private reflections on Trump over the years, he's had plenty of good things to say.
Right. Yeah.
And Trump has always been Trump. So, yeah, he takes over for the Salt Lake Winter Olympics when everything is in shambles. And this is kind of a big thing that launches him further into just like the public sphere. People know him as successful. And he and his wife both talk about how he took that on because it was such a train wreck and he loves train wrecks. Like he loves a
drama. Hold on. Yeah. What's his sign?
He's a drama queen.
So sorry.
Take your time. This is important. I'm so glad you thought of this.
Wow. A Pisces. Drama. Sensitive. Ego.
Ego.
His moon is in Scorpio too, so that's intense. That's like emotionally he's a lot. Like a Scorpio man. No, thank you.
One thing we learn, not from Mitt himself, but from journalists who were in the room on January 6th, is that when he found out, like, the Capitol has been breached, like, insurrectionists are on their way, we need to lock you all down, is he, like, came into the room and was like, this is your fault, like, screaming that at, like, Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz and stuff. Like, he is, you know, he is that guy. It makes his feuds with George Santos, like, all the more just delightful.
Delightful, yeah.
Because George Santos is such a drama queen, right?
And
such
Yeah, that's an interesting...
illusionist.
Yeah, it's an interesting pair.
I did want to say, I read, like, a handful of reviews of the book from, like, the New Yorker and the New York Times and the Washington Post. And my favorite line was from Alex Beam in the Washington Post, who wrote, "The biggest disappointment in this book proves to be Romney himself." Which, sick burn. And it's kind of true because, like, the reckoning he's having, right, is with himself and his complicity in the current state of things, which he clearly is horrified by. He's horrified by, like, what politics has kind of sunk to. And he's recognizing his complicity in it. And he's also, like, taking a stand against it. So there's this, like, self-reckoning, but also this reckoning with Trump and Trumpists. You know, he's going to come out against them. But even in this, like, supposed reckoning, he's still just doing, like, a lot of navel gazing and a lot of, like, disingenuous, like, shock, a lot of, like, I can't believe that Republicans will act on their own self-interest over the interests of the Republic. And it's like, can't you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like he's trying to clean his slate before he inevitably saves the Constitution.
I was gonna say before he inevitably becomes a general authority.
Oh, is that an inevitability?
I don't know. I mean, he's a rich, famous Mormon man. That's where you go.
I guess I just figured he was maybe too famous.
I don't know.
Or is that not a problem?
I don't know if it's a problem. I mean, he has played his role, his Mormon role, pretty squeaky clean.
But I just feel like the church, what's he going to do in the church, you know? Is it enough for him?
I mean, that is one thing that's kind of funny that I do want to talk about is that, you know, he makes all this money and he's like, what else is there? Like, my life can't just be about money. It has to be about some kind of self-sacrifice, some kind of public service, because that's what his dad did. That's what a good Mormon does, right? And you have to, and that's what he did on his mission, is he just, like, suffered for the the recognition of that suffering. And like that does kind of seem like what his political career has been, is like, I'm out here willing to just take it on the chin over and over and over for
this podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
The recognition.
Right. Just to be seen as doing such.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like weirdly about him. It's like weirdly delusions of grandeur, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, what else is there but like then doing that for the church until you die?
Yeah, I suppose so.
I just want to say that amid this reckoning, I think it's worth noting that the Mormons have turned on it. Like, as he's become more and more outspoken against Trump, against like the Trumpification of the GOP, Mormons have fully turned on him. Like, there was a poll taken in spring 2023. More than half of Utah's Republicans do not want Romney to run again. And he's not running again. Yeah. But the fact that that is the vibe is fascinating.
Yeah. And frightening.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Mormons have gotten real conservative.
They sure have.
Well, like beyond real radicalized. Whatever it is.
And honestly, that might be the thing that keeps him from becoming a general authority, is that he somehow weirdly became like too moderate.
Yeah.
Too principled.
Sure.
Anyway, what a book. What a Romney.
What a guy.
What a reckoning.
What a fun word.
I know. I just want to have so many reckonings from here on out.
I know. I could use a reckoning.
Just anytime Frank and I are like deciding what to have for dinner, I'm gonna be like, this is a reckoning.
Right. Yeah. The next time I struggle to decide whether to cut bangs, that's a reckoning.
A bang reckoning.
So my contribution to this episode, because I did not read Mitt Romney, A Reckoning.
Nor should you.
I've made a little bit of a discovery from our past. It's a letter from you from when you were on your mission. And I found it like months ago, and I read it and I set it aside with my podcasting stuff, and I said, I'm gonna read this, and I don't remember what it says, and I did not reread, but I want to read it for the pod.
Katie, this is a reckoning.
This is a little bit of a reckoning. It's very apt. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
It's dated May 29th, 2006.
Okay.
So I was 14 years old. You were on your mission.
I was pretty freshly on my mission.
Which, like, hence the cute, really cutesy.
Yeah, sure.
You know, situation. Gosh. It says, Dear Skatie, which is cute.
Yeah.
One of my nicknames. It says, Yo.
Go on.
Happy Memorial Day. What's shaking? Um, It mentions somebody I'm not going to name drop, but it says last year, this person and I threw a Memorial Day barbecue bash. Today, I went to the Ithaca Ward Memorial Day barbecue bash, and it was actually as cool, if not cooler.
What a bunch of baloney.
We played some serious frisbee.
Katie, I can't see it.
Yeah, I can't see that.
Who is this person?
Plus, it's like 98 degrees outside. You know, I can't even read this.
Why is that a good thing?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
You know, Katie, you're my sunshine after the rain.
A 98 degrees reference.
Oh,
snap. Hello. Topical.
I'm so sorry. And 150,000% humidity. So we were all dripping with sweat from just standing outside. It was crazy town. There were six missionaries there, us and four elders, and all the little kids were chasing us with cups of water. Being a missionary is mega fun.
Why am I talking like this?
I don't know.
Ugh.
You
in distress.
Yeah, clearly. You never just blend into a crowd. We can't even walk out our front door without everyone staring at us and wondering who the heck we are. I don't think I'll ever feel self-conscious for the rest of my life.
Wow. That didn't work out. I'm That's self-conscious so powerful. Right now. Thank you very much.
Yeah. How's school? Are you the most popular girl there these days?
Katie, I'm being such a nice sister in this letter, and you are making a mockery of it.
How are the friends, James and Kelsey, the steak dances? What are your thoughts on the upcoming youth conference?
What?
Sounds like it's gonna be a hoot.
What? How did I even know about that?
Because it was the same everywhere. Maybe you heard about it in the ward you were in. You'll love it. It'll make you tough.
Oh, was it going to be
I
like
wonder
a
if
track?
It was, I think it was track because that was the year I did track.
I don't believe in that.
And as if you would even know, you didn't do track.
I know. I refused.
Yeah, good for you. I think that's a huge reason for being a missionary. Hyphen. Toughness. In all caps.
I sound like Mitt Romney. I literally sound like
this
Mitt
is
Romney.
Really, 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 really crazy. You start to realize that hard things are actually way more fun than easy things. Okay, Elisa, this is where it gets crazy. I forgot about this. Everybody buckle up. Like, tracting is a blast. I never thought I'd say that. This week, we tracked into a rabbi and talked to him for an hour. Remind me to tell you about it. Nuts!
It was nuts. I remember it vividly. It was not fun.
Oh, wow.
We got our asses handed to us is what happened. And rightfully so.
Yeah. Yes.
Continue.
Almost done. Well, I think I'm having ice cream for dinner. It's so ding dang hot. Do you like this card? For those who can't see, it's Scuffy the tugboat. It made me all nostalgic for my long past childhood or something. I love you, Katie. Be good. You're okay. Write me back, Elisa. P.S. Never give up, just like Scuffy the tugboat.
Obviously, there was a healthy amount of irony in a lot of what I was writing there. But you read it straight. You read it earnest. And that's on you.
I think
that's on you.
That's okay. I'll let you.
Me saying like, oh, we loved being out in the heat. And sweating. I did not love that.
Yeah.
Or being like, be tough like this tugboat. I'm not. Come on.
Okay.
Come on.
Sure.
However, I was clearly in deep distress.
Yeah, you were in distress. Yeah.
I had clearly lost myself. Anyway, thanks for that reckoning.
Isn't that just a lot of fun? That really was a reckoning. Isn't that a lot of fun? What handwriting? How nice is this?
I really was being a nice sister.
You were a nice sister. I probably didn't write back.
Probably not.
I was not a nice sister.
You were also in your own kind of distress.
Oh, I was in deep distress.
Honestly, the whole like toughness thing is so Mitt Romney.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We were just talking about this.
Good for me and Mitt. We both suffered for the Lord.
Yeah. You like took your distress, you flipped it and reversed it and made it like, look at me, identity, baby. I am tough. Oof. I am going through it and everybody can see it. And I'm writing to my sister about it.
Yep.
Like it's nothing.
It was all like on some level, very self-serving, right? Watch yeah. me suffer. And that's how you'll know I'm important.
Right.
Well, anyway, this has been terrible. This has been a real reckoning. But you may have noticed, dear friends, that we've been absent for a little while. Right. We have had things going on, life stuff come up, just our own journeys. And so the podcast has taken a bit of a backseat, and we're actually wrapping up season two with this very episode. Mitt Romney is sending us out into the great unknown.
Yeah.
But we appreciate all... Jesus Christ, shut up, Siri. But we appreciate all of the, like, folks who've been sending us episode ideas, who've been like checking in with us, sharing content on like Instagram and TikTok, just all the friends of the podcast. Y'all are great.
Yeah, we sure love you.
It is a delight every time mm-hmm. our paths cross. In the so you know, don't be strangers. We're around. You can email us at pleasebusspod@gmail.com. You can DM us on Instagram or TikTok at pleasebusspod.
Please do.
Don't be strangers.
And, you know, have a Merry Christmas.
Have a Merry Christmas and a happy reckoning.
Amen.
Wait, Christmas Day isn't today. It's on December.
Siri, would you shut up?
It disrupted so many times.
Well, please bless Siri that she may figure it out.
Please bless Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Please bless 2006 era Elisa as she was going through it.
And please bless this podcast.
Amen.